We can just read that one out if you want.
Georgie, we're back on air. This, I'm glad you didn't say it. There, Georgie is an absolute belter.
What's that, the favourite, that one?
Can't pay. So let's bowl through a couple of these texts before you back to the calls. Try the old gold Jamaican rum and raisin, cooled in the fridge. Turkish Delight has no place in the favourites box. That's coming through off the text. Absolutely kidding yourself, Annie. Dairy milk must stay in. Well, yes to the dairy milk?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the staple chocolate. Without dairy milk, there is nothing else.
That's a reasonable point. Morrow's the first pick. That's coming through from Drew. No tomorrow. Turkish Delight picnic, yes. Now, somebody's suggesting that the mint bubbly should be in.
Well, I think there should be a mint chocolate component to the favourites box.
There's no mint in there.
I don't believe
so. There's nothing with a mint flavour in there.
I don't believe so. I believe that it should have some. It's an after-dinner sort of flavour that you want. You just deleted my belter.
Chemist Warehouse.
Do you read this one out nice and slowly to the fans?
Chemist Warehouse sells bags of red jelly beans.
Oh, well, who told you that one?
I apologise.
Thank you.
I've never seen that.
I have.
I still wouldn't
buy them.
I'm only buying the black ones.
I buy them.
KB is saying that the flake, he's not, he was here before when this conversation started. He popped in out of the back saying the flake has to stay.
Oh, I don't mind the flake. I don't mind the flake. Flake goes well over
your
ice
T-shirt.
Cream.
It goes over your T-shirt, well over your pants, and it goes well over your couch.
I agree with that, but you've got children. I don't.
No, I eat the flake, and I can't keep it anywhere under control. And the other thing about the flake, when you get the flake in the actual flake, like the flake, not the flake in...
Before we get onto this, because flakes used to be thicker and bigger than they are now, and this is something that organisations need to stop downsizing the size of their chocolates. Everything is now smaller than it used to be.
The wagon wheel.
Oh, the wagon wheel.
The wagon wheel
used to be thick.
It used to be 30% bigger than it is now.
Yeah, it's something that needs to change because, it makes me mad.
You are speaking my language and the wagon wheel is a joke, what's happened to it. But the thing about the flake, you always get about half an inch of flaked off flake in the bottom of your thing, and then when you try and tip it, it goes, you never get it all out.
No, I'll cop it, but the flavour's good because it's melting your mouth chocolate.
No, it is.
So that, for me, you know, makes it okay.
We're getting no closer to what needs to come out and what needs to stay in here, by the way. Noel's on the road. The favourites bar, the favourites pack. Noel, what needs to stay, what needs to go?
Well, firstly, I agree with you about the Royal Gold. That's old man's chocolate. That's the one that Mum used to buy for Dad on farm.
It's a very good point.
I'm surprised you don't like it then, Andy.
Shut up, Georgie. So old gold is out.
But my big pet hate is Bounty bars, mate.
Oh, they're rubbish. Out goes
that one's a big mouth full of coconut, and then you've got to pick the coconut out of your teeth for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Is the bounty in?
Bounty's not favourites, but it is in the celebrations box, I believe.
Well, we're talking about the favourites. Let's not confuse the two now. We're talking about the favourites, which is the one that most of us get, I think. No, we haven't had anybody buying about the dream yet.
I like the dream. I like it.
White chocolate has no flavour.
Well, white chocolate's not actually chocolate. I played hockey with Laura Haig, whose parents owned Haig's Chocolates. Great person to have in your team, by the way.
Well, no wonder she was in the team.
Didn't matter how bad she was. She was always getting a game.
Of course, yeah.
And she said white chocolate is not chocolate. So do you know what I put that in? When I put myself on chocolate bands, because I'm a little bit...
I go crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I say I can still eat it. And everyone's like, no, it's chocolate. I said, no, Laura Haig said it's not chocolate.
If a member of the Haig family says something is or isn't chocolate, I'm going with that.
Yeah, exactly. So I can have it in my chocolate ban. Nick's on the situation.
That works. What is it then if it's not chocolate? What is it?
Well, it's not made. It doesn't have cocoa in it. Oh.
So we should call it Wocklet or something.
Wocklet.
Do we have to call it something else?
I don't know.
Nick,
let's listen to you. What do you reckon about white chocolate?
Guys, I don't really have an opinion on white chocolate. However, I sit next to a guy at work who every single day at 3 o'clock pulls out a packet of old gold, a block of old gold chocolate, and has one piece.
No.
And it is, I swear to God, for 12 months, he offered me a piece every day. I haven't had it for 10 years. After 12 months, I decided, you know what, bugger it, I'm going to have a piece. I ate it and thought to myself, I have to fire you. I have to get rid of you. And he told me that it's better for me than normal chocolate. And I said to him, well, why the hell are they trying to sneak in better for your chocolate than to favour. No. Not acceptable.
No, it's not. It's not acceptable.
This is what they say about the dark. I don't mind dark chocolate. But if I want... You go and get a block of dark chocolate. If you want to feel mature and old man-ish and a bit more responsible, look after your health when you get to eat chocolate.
You don't want it on Easter Sunday.
Well, you don't buy the favourites because it's healthy.
No.
You buy it because it's delicious.
I buy it because it's half price after Easter. That's why I buy it.
But I think
it's really important, though, that whoever you end up with, your life partner, they need to like the opposite chocolates in the favourite box.
So this is a question you should be asking before you say yay or nay to the ultimate question. Did you do this sort of scouting in your prime life?
My husband eats anything, so it's fine.
So there's no love for the old gold is out at this stage.
Here you go. I love the dream. We love the dream, a couple of people.
The dream's rubbish.
No.
It's no good. It's not chocolate. And it has no flavour. White chocolate has no flavour. I can never understand why people like the Milky Bar. You're too young to remember the answer.
I remember the Milky Bar. My hockey coach, his nickname was Billy. Billy the Kid, Milky Bar Kid.
The Milky Bar Kid. Terrible Milky Bars. Jack's in Adelaide. Jack, what needs to stay in or what needs to go out of the favourites box?
I think for a start, this is the best conversation I've ever heard in SDN, that's for sure. I think it's all about, Andy and Georgie, the strategy you use when you open a box of favourites. You don't just go for all the dreams, eat them all at once. You need to pick three or four at a time and make sure that the flavour composition of those in a row is going to suit. So you'd go maybe for a gooey one first and the caramello, then go for a nutty one maybe, and then a bit of fruity taste with the cherry ripe. And as Georgie was saying, the mint needs to come back. That's always there for limited time only, and it's just not good enough. That mint needs to be in that box the whole time.
That is the smartest caller we've had.
Of course, he's from Adelaide.
Great place. Hello.
That is a highly intellectual observance of chocolate and order and the favourites box.
And I actually think it's really important. This is where my error was last week. I ate all my favourite ones first, and then I was only left with old golden Turkish delight. I had no option. You know, I should eat them first, get the bad ones out of the way. Right. You didn't need to do the dumb button. And eat the bad ones first.
How deep have you gone into a favourites box on your own?
A whole box. Not in one sitting.
No, you have not. Two sittings. You can get through a favourites box in two sittings.
Easy.
Adrian's in Lower Templestowe. This might be the last one on this, Adrian, for the time being. And this could be a tiebreaker because half have said the Morrow stays in, half have said the Morrow goes out. So where are you?
Well, all I can say is I could be the only one with this caramello out.
Yep.
And I would change my religion if they could bring in a liqueur cherry.
Nah, see, the liqueur chocolates, I think these things are one of the most overrated conveyances on the planet. Grown up, you know, in the nice little...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? They are so overrated. I would take... A Morrow
stinks, man. You got to get off of the Morrow.
You can get the best. Is Lindt? What is the best? Is Lindt? So I'm not a chocolate aficionado at the top end. I'm a blue collar guy.
I'm a Haig. Not so just Haig, right? Aussie Haig. But I mean, I lived in Belgium, and I still lived there for a year, and I still would rather a Dairy Milk than the Belgium chocolate. Maybe I'm.
What about these liqueur cherry chocolates? Yeah. Is there any place for them anywhere?
Not in a favourites box. I appreciate his where he's coming from.
What if you go to a dinner party with people you've never met before, right, and you get invited and you go to this really kind of posh dinner party?
Is this when you pretend you like things just for people to think that you're a better person?
Oh, well, they're a little bit.
I do that often.
Highfalutin. Look at the chocolates they had. If they rolled out it after a beautiful dinner, they rolled out with a Morrow. Or I'd be happy. I'd want them to be friends for life.
No. He's just a Morrow bar.
So you've confirmed that the old gold is out.
It's out. Gone.
Is there any place for the Morrow? According to the feedback you've
seen? There is because a little bit of nougat. I'll cop Morrow, but...
It stays in. So old gold out and we'll get the mint. We'll get some sort of mint type in.
Yep. Done.
Can we continue 11. This sort of conversation and others with you down the track?
Absolutely.
That's 40 minutes has flown by. Thanks for coming in.
25 consisting of chocolate chat.
good to see you.
You too, Andy.
Georgie Parker, part of the show. Thanks for joining in on the AGN Open Line, by the way. Love winter, love cheaper, greener, more reliable natural gas. Search Australian gas networks to find out more. Hello to you, Georgie Parker. How lovely to see you.
Hello, Andy.
Are you well?
I'm very
Should
well.
Should I block that text message that's come through, given the fact that I am a Carlton supporter and it's clearly just a nasty text message?
No, I think it's just a reality check.
Oh, thanks, mate. I don't need to be hearing that sort of stuff from you.
Melbourne have been hot on the old bullying online, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of that.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts, really, doesn't it?
Does,
it?
Some things just don't need to be pointed out.
No, but you could be a Fremantle supporter, never seen anything.
Well, that's a very good point.
So look on the other side of it, mate.
Now, which one are you? Being a child of the West, are you?
Well, I'm actually a child of Adelaide, Andy. I know.
I understand. Oh, you are. Of course, you're an Adelaide.
I'm an Adelaide, but it
Yeah. But have you adopted a team over in WA? Given the fact that you spent so much time there,
Freo is probably my team of choice. Mm. But I mean, after the 2017 Grand Final was the year that I signed with Collingwood, so it was a very easy year the next year to jump off the Crows bandwagon and jump onto the Collingwood one. But I did have to go to two losing Grand Finals in a row.
So your journey continues through sport. We know what you've done, you know, as part of our national hockey team.
Yeah.
Where are you at with your footy journey?
I'm trying to get over to West Coast, so just to get home for family over summer, and then I'm here again for work in winter. Just left the husband in Perth. So I feel I should be there for a period of time during the year.
So how did you find it? Tell me about the – because you took a punt. Anybody who's a high-profile cross-coder
– Well, high-profile, probably throwing that word around.
No, you are. I mean, you're a multiple Olympian and you're a high achiever when it comes to hockey. I think anybody who decides to go from sport A to sport B, particularly a pretty high-profile one like the AFLW, in this environment, can set yourself up a little bit for to fail and be commented upon. And I'm not suggesting you failed at all at this stage because – clearly you want to continue, but how have you found your journey through footy so far?
Well, a massive hit to the ego to begin with. I mean, I've gone from being one of the best players in the world to being the worst in your team.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge hit to the ego because I'm not used to not being confident in anything I'm doing and having something to rely on. I mean, I was lucky that I've had the fitness base and strength base from hockey, and that's what I guess gave me the opportunities that I had so I could be one of the fittest and strongest and fastest there. That helps. But, it's challenging but rewarding. And, I mean, I'm part of that era of girls who couldn't play. I was the kid I idolised my football team. I was obsessed with the Crows. I got my hair cut, like we've discussed this. I got my hair cut like Sean Wren, you know.
What a commitment.
Oh, it's putrid. I look back and I think, Mom, what are you letting me do that for? You know, so I couldn't play. I wanted to, but I couldn't. And it was all because I was a girl, and that's no reason to not be able to do something. So I kind of had to do it just to satisfy a little 8-year-old me who, you know, got to play hockey, and I'm glad I did. Yeah. But, you know, it's been an incredible, like, the shift in so many aspects of life now it. Like, it's pushing not just sport but a whole lot of equality going forward. So it's been really cool to be a part of.
What did you find most challenging about the game? Clearly, you talk about elite training standards and, you know, the base of fitness that you had. Tick, tick, all of those things. Yeah. But there's more to this game than any of that. What did you find as the greatest kind of challenge?
Oh, skill-wise, it'd have to be kicking while moving. I mean, it's one of the most toughest skills. You're dropping a ball onto your foot in a certain angle and pinpointing somebody, which, you know, I really struggled with learning that kick. I mean, hockey, I spent 20 years trying to let the ball not touch my feet, and now it's completely opposite. The physical stuff, I love the tacking, I love the bumping, I love all that sort of stuff, and that was probably my strongest point. But the skills, it's a very, very unique set of skills that you don't learn in anything else, so it's very difficult.
But so you get to see these young kids coming through who you're trying to compete with, and these young kids that are coming into the women's game at the elite level now, that all that stuff you're talking about is completely second nature to them. They've been doing it, you know, since they were a little kid. They've had the opportunity by and large, and now they're the product. The ones coming in now are the product of these pathways. So you're trying to develop a skill set that is complete and utter second nature to them. Were you kind of looking at them going, this I've bitten off a bit more than I can chew here. Did that reality hit you pretty quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. And probably more noticeable this year than last year.
Yeah, I
think we had like a better crop of kids coming through. I mean, the year before we had Chloe Malloy in my team, who absolute brilliant player, unfortunately was injured this year. But we saw more of them this year, like the Katie Lynch's, the Georgia Goulet's coming through, who had been playing since they were younger girls, and you could really see that now you know, that's going to be standard. It's not going to be the one or two coming through. It's going to be standard that each of them have a left foot or a right foot. Each of them can take great marks overhead and strong on the ground. So this year was more noticeable. The thing, like I said, the thing that I have over them is that, you know, they've 18-year-old bodies. Yeah. They're not used to that. And it's funny, just their mindset. I remember talking to Katie Lynch and she's like, why are you doing extra bike sessions? And I go, hey, Katie, you know how I'm at the front of the running? She goes, yeah, exactly. So why do you do it? I said, well, that's why.
Yeah, there's a reason.
And you could just see that just clicking, just, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, so it's these things that I learned from being the back of the pack at hockey and that I can bring to these girls. So there's still a place in there for us, I think, because the ones that are coming through are still young and you have to develop and be mature over time and they don't have that yet. And, you know, 5 years' time, you won't be able to do what I do.
What were you thinking when you sat – I don't know where you were on grand final day, whether you watched the Adelaide Carlton game. I don't know where you were, but whether you saw it live or whether you heard – later that there were 53,000 turned up at the Adelaide Oval in your hometown. Well, what did you think when that bobbed up?
Unbelievable. I mean, we just had our silly Saturday, so we were just sitting on the couch a little bit hungover. But, you know, watching that, and I was proud of my home state for getting behind those girls. Yep. I mean, I don't think you would have got that in Melbourne, and that's what having a single club like Adelaide, everyone was there. I had friends that were there who'd never been to a game of AFLW in their life, and they're like, that was unbelievable. The girls exceeded their expectations. They got goosebumps, you know. And I even thinking of when Aaron Phillips unfortunately got injured, I started crying seeing 53,000 people all stand up and cheer for this great athlete come off. It was really moving. But to see that many people support it, you know, people have go, oh, well, it was free. Well, they're still having to get there, buy the beers, take their family there. Yep. And, you know, there were families there with three or four kids taking their whole family there. No one can afford to take three or four kids to the grand final, the AFL grand final, at $1,000 a pop. Let's be honest.
That's a really good point.
They've got this ability now to be able to take their kids to and experience a grand final with all the fanfare that goes with it. Absolutely incredible.
So you've seen, last question on this before you get into some of the more important matters, right, which I want to talk to you about routinely, and I've got to take you to task about Game of Thrones, but we'll get to that in a moment. You've been part of high-performing, high-achieving Olympic team. Yep. And you've seen the support that, you know, a team like that gets from the authorities. Have you got a sense now for the AFL when they – and I think they can support AFLW better.
Yep.
I don't think there's much doubt about that. But to their credit, they've helped establish the league – they've thrown support behind it. They continue to support it, and I'm sure they'll continue to support it at even greater levels going forward. But have you got a sense for when an organisation like the AFL gets behind something, how it can dominate?
Yeah.
How it can start to impact upon other sports? How it can start to, you know, express its will a little bit amongst the kind of sporting population?
Especially here in Melbourne, where it's got such a massive pool. But you think of the resurgence of the Matildas. That's come off of AFLW. People have started going, or soccer have probably started going, oh, we better start pushing these girls more because we don't want our girls going to AFL. And that's what happened. I think all the codes have started going, we need to start looking after our girls better. But especially here in Melbourne, you can just see the passion that people have for AFL and the fact that they want to have a team to support all year round. It's got that monotony about it, doesn't it? I guess the AFL clearly could do things better, but it's really going in the right direction. It's a brilliant time to be part of a female sport. I mean, when I first started playing hockey, you know, I was working three jobs, studying full time and playing hockey, and where I got to where I didn't have to work was great. But now all sports are going to be starting to push for that more professionalism, more full time. You just got to make sure that fans' expectation meets the push of how it's moving forward.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You don't want them to be expecting more because suddenly they're full time and they're getting paid. Well, they've only been full time for a month, 3 months, 6 months.
Yep.
They can't suddenly click your fingers and you're better overnight. So I think you just need to make sure that you, just make sure everybody's all on the same page of actually what they're expecting. From the athletes. Don't expect too much when it's not available yet. Sometimes I've got to pull the girls in line and say, don't look at the boys look at girls like the Matildas, look at how they act, how they go about their training, the W League, how they're not professional yet, but they're striving for it.
Yep.
Look at them, because if you start comparing yourself to the boys, you get a little bit entitled.
So do you reckon there's a bit of that? There's still the girls within the construct of the AFLW, there's still a couple of girls who are a bit keen to get to a level that maybe they just, it's a bit further down the track?
Yeah, yep. I think so. And I mean, I'm coming from a sport not hugely funded.
No, you don't get rich playing hockey.
God, no. You know? I wish. It'd be great. But unfortunately not in Australia. It's you can if you're an Argentinian or Dutch. But I'm Australian, unfortunately. Luckily, I'm Australian, but not if I want to be a rich hockey player. But, you know, there are girls who you just need to pull them back a little bit.
Yeah.
Appreciate why you're there and understand that you're starting something that you might not see it, just like the guys did 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. I think that's a really salient point.
Yeah,
hopefully that gets. I'm sure that does get hurt, and I'm sure from other areas, managers and other people don't want to put the cart before the horse when it comes to the issues that you're raising here. I think by and large they've got it in perspective.
Yeah, I think so, and
mostly.
I think the younger girls, which seems weird, the younger girls are so excited to be there and aren't asking for as much as the older ones. It's quite a bizarre. That for me doesn't make sense, you know, because they've been around it, but you know. It is a small percentage of them that have that entitled sort of feel about it. But, you know, we're getting there. It's exciting.
If you like what you're hearing from Georgie Parker, you can hear more of this on a podcast she does. That's What She Said is the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
I've got that right.
That's what
so
she
people
said.
Should subscribe to this.
Yeah, you should. iTunes, have a look.
There you go. Have a go.
Yeah.
Well, not have a look. Have a listen.
Have a listen, yeah. Actually, we do on YouTube as well, but I've got Mel Barbieri, former Matildas captain, and Joe Weston, so current Melbourne Vixen. And it's great. We just chat all about all sports, not just, you know, if I feel like in media they think women can talk about women's sports and men can talk about men's sports.
Yes.
Well, why can't we all just talk about sport?
Well, we can.
So we're there talking about a bit of everything, what tickles our fancy that week. It's comes out every Tuesday, and it's great to be a part of and to be able to talk about what we want to talk about, not what people think we want to talk about.
Do you talk about things other than sport as well? Because this is part of there's two reasons I want you to be here whenever you can be here, and that is to talk, you know, sport of the day and whatever it is that we want to talk about. But I do follow you on Twitter, and
good content on my Twitter.
I was about to say that for you, so you didn't need to say. You actually didn't need to say that. A tiny little icy pole moment there. You do challenge people on Twitter, and you challenged me last week on Twitter with your notion that Old Gold has no place in a Cadbury favourites box.
It doesn't.
I didn't even know. I couldn't even remember it being there, so I had to go online and check, and it is. The Old Gold is.
Yeah.
That's how I have no disdain for the old. I have so much disdain for the Old Gold. I don't even see it in the favourites box.
Look, I'll cop Old Gold if it's peppermint Old Gold or a bit of nuts in there, but not plain.
The rum and raisin.
Not plain Old Gold. Why do you want that in it? It's not a favourite. It's not a favourite of mine.
So it got me looking at the responses, and this was a very popular tweet that you put out. And I want people to buy into this. 1-300-736-736. We will talk sport. We will talk the absurd as well on the way through. What shouldn't be in the favourites box, and what should? Should the Old Gold be in there? A lot of people who responded to your tweets suggested that there is no place for the Morrow.
Well, Morrow is poor man's Mars bar.
And you said this publicly in response to one of the Morrow, that it is a poor man's
It is.
I needed to get you on to take you to task. The Morrow is clearly the king of the chocolates.
No. So you would go, if you are at the counter of a service station, any chocolate bar would you pick Morrow? Do they even sell them?
No, sadly not. No, they do not.
No.
The Morrow.
You're wrong.
The Morrow goes in the favourites box. There's no question about this. I would take the Dairy Milk goes out instead of it. The Crunchy, rubbish, that goes out in front. The Flake is the most overrated bar in the world. All it does is create mess. Do not eat a Flake on a couch. A chocolate Flake on the couch.
Flake is very important in a McDonald's sundae. So Flake's very important.
I'll take your word for that. The Caramello stays in. The Boost, I'm not a big fan of. The
Boost is a waste of time.
Picnic stays in. Cherry Ripe stays in.
100%.
No, Turkish Delight can go.
No time for – do you know what, actually? Because I had – 4 bits of chocolate left from my favourites box. 2 Old Gold, 2 Turkish Delight, right?
No, no.
And, well, I thought, I don't need to eat that. Next day, needed some chocolate, of course.
Yeah, you went
I ate the Turkish Delight. Actually, not as bad as I thought.
No, it's not as bad as, but it does get a bum rap, I reckon.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I think
but,
so.
But pure Turkish Delight from a, you know, from a proper Turkish Delight store is much better. The Dream, what, there is no place for white chocolate anywhere in this world.
No, Dream's good. Dream's all right.
Out goes the Dream. What we want to do, 1-300-736-736, what out of the, there's 11 chocolates in the favourites box. I've just gone through them. What goes and what stays? And is the Morro grotesquely underrated when it comes to sizing up chocolates?
This might be another reality check about Carlton not winning the flag for 25 years.
I just need to prove to you that there is a great deal of love out there, despite what your captured audience of your Twitter account says to you about the Morro. There is a lot of love for the Morro out there. What goes and what stays in the Cadbury favourites box? 1-300-736-736. That and comments about Game of Thrones that you need to be taken to account for on the other side of the break. This we're going to get no resolution here, Georgie Parker.
No.
We're not going to get... So there's 11 chocolates that sit in the favourites box. You started this. You planted this seed in my mind because I read your tweet and it said the Old Gold's got to go.
Old Gold has to go.
No place for it.
Waste of calories. You know, if you're going to eat, if you're going to eat food, it better be worth it. And I tell you what, yeah. Old Gold is not worth it. No.
There is no. Honestly, people are flying the flag for a lot of different chocolates here, and people are, you know, wadding a whole lot. But there is not one person who has said the Old Gold's got to stay. Not one off the text machine.
No. Well, Old Gold, there you go.
Yeah, but now we're just seeing Chris in Bateman's Bay before we get some calls on this. Old Gold's black, like black jelly beans.
They're useless. My mum likes the black jelly beans.
I only buy it. That's why, do you get bags of just red jelly beans?
You can, actually.
No, you don't.
Yes, you can.
You don't see those anywhere.
Well, I'm going to bring you in next week
I won't eat them. I'll only get the
I only buy
the bags of the black jelly beans.
I'm just going to prove a point.
You don't get bags of red jelly beans. You're making that up.
No, I'm bringing you in next week.
I don't believe it.
I am.
So what do you get, before you get to calls on this one, what are you sensing from the text machine at this stage?
Well, there's a lot going on.
It's a bit hard to keep up with it, actually.
It's actually a little bit overwhelming. It's a bit.
You don't have to. I'll get to some calls. Dan's on the road. Dan, what needs to come out or what needs to stay in the Cadbury favourites box?
Oh, I reckon a Turkish Delight has to come out because every time you go to a party or you get a box of Cadbury favourites, the last thing remaining in that box is the Turkish Delight, and that has to go.
Righto. We're going to start a list here, Georgie, just from feedback. The Turkish Delight is out. There's a vote from Dan. Marks, you happy with that?
Yeah, I reckon there'd be a lot of them. Well, a lot of people agreeing with
Let's
Dan.
See if Mark in Sunshine West agrees or disagrees regarding Turkish Delight. Where do you sit on the favourites box, Mark?
Well, Turkish Delight has to stay.
Oh, dear.
Right, no. Well, it's confusing all of a sudden.
And Morro can go. See you later. But Turkish Delight.
Morro can go. Did you hear that?
Did you just say that?
Can go.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I'm happy with your Turkish Delight too, Andy. And I love that as well.
I know, love the traditional Turkish store. And I'm a bit with you, Aunt Georgie. I reckon the one in the favourites box cops a bum steer.
What's that?
I reckon the Turkish delight in the favourites box is all right.
I actually agree with you. I was very surprised with it, but yeah. It is a last option chocolate. You wouldn't open a favourites box and think, Turkish delight.
That's a very good. You're not racing. You're not diving to the bottom to find the Turkish delights.
You're definitely not
you're
diving into
the Morro's way before
gold.
Alan's on the road.
Here we go. Yeah. Morro, WTF? Seriously, I'd rather eat my cat's business.
Alan's on the road. The favourites box, Alan. What goes in? What goes out?
G'day, team. Look, if the Morro goes, that's the last time I ever buy a favourites box.
Stays
my
in.
My whole family knows that if there's a favourites box, the Morros are mine, and even my extended family has learned this now. My mother-in-law saves them for me when she has a box.
See, this is the glory of liking one of the despised chocolates in the favourite box. You get it.
Yeah.
No one else wants it.
It's true.
You get it. You get it. It's all yours. Hey, we've got to get to the newsroom for the latest headlines. Noel, Jack, anyone else wants to buy into this critical matter, feel free to do so after this.